Right. Thank you very much, and thank you for being a part of this fellowship with us. Tonight, I've titled my teaching, Be Transformed, Please, Part 1. And after working this subject, I figured I have a lot more I'd like to share on it, so this is Part 1. Did you know that God never intended for mankind to have just a human nature, a natural man, an old man? Those are names that he talks about our nature in the Bible after the fall. His plan was for us to have a godly nature and live a Christ-like lifestyle. Our sinful human nature is the result of Adam and Eve's disobedience to God's will. But God, we love the but God, through Jesus Christ, there is a way we can live according to God's original plan for all mankind. Where do you think we will find this? How about Romans 12, 1 and 2? And we're going to get to that, but I'm going to share a little bit before that. God's original plan was for us to live our lives as spiritual beings by renewing our minds, looking to Him only, living in the Spirit. If you want to live and think the way God intended, you have to let Him transform your mind. The change will happen as you spend time talking with Him in prayer, reading His Word, allowing it to go from your head to your heart, and walking in the Spirit. Everything starts in the mind. We can choose the thoughts we will act out. We want to become imitators of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, we are to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity. It's in conflict against God. It's not subject to God or can be. Those in the flesh cannot please God. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And that's the life that we all want. And we've proven that over the years, that we haven't walked away from the Word, that the loving God and His people are what we live for. It's in our blood, in our veins. Everything Jesus did on earth and the way He carried Himself was how God intended us to live. Because He spent time talking to the Father, He could learn the Father's will, and He knew the Scriptures. Remember, from a child, He knew the Scriptures and confounded the priests. In Hebrews chapter 4:15, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Jesus renewed His mind to always do the will of the Father. Jesus did have freedom of will, right? Yet He was tempted on all points, yet without sin. Sin is anything put before God. When we worry, when we fear, when we are disobedient, when we're selfish, those are just a few things that we don't even think about as being sin. But they are, because we take our eyes off of God and live in the five senses. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Renewed mind action is to overcome evil with good. Or you could say with God. Overcome evil with good. That's how we renew our minds. How do we become a new creation in Christ, transformed into that spiritual man God intended us to be? Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to read the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read the NLT. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the NLT kind of puts it a little more familiar. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Isn't that a great plea? That's why I plead. Be transformed, please. Let them be Let your bodies be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Now, God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to be that perfect example, to be that service to him, to do his good will. But not to copy. We're not to copy the world. And boy, we don't want to copy the world. The world's a crazy place right now. And that's why we need to be those lights. But we have to really put God first, transform us, because our natural man wants to get into the politics. It wants to get into siding with different causes and everything. The side that we want to stand with is that God is using us to move the word over the world, that we are his children, we are his chosen gems, that he, before the foundation of the world, chose us to be a part of his family, to be represent Jesus Christ, so we can reconcile the world back to him. So that's the cause that we really want to commit to. Barney Barnhart sent us a text message yesterday that I think sums up how to live with a renewed mind. He said, "What if we began to treat our Bibles the way we treat our cell phones? What if we carried our Bibles with us everywhere? What if we turned back to get our Bible if we forgot it? What if we checked it for messages throughout the day? What if we use our Bibles in case of an emergency? What if we spent an hour or more using our Bibles every day? Can you see the transformation that our lives would be?" I recently got off of Facebook because I realized what a waste of time that was. I don't really need to know what people are eating or what they're thinking. I need to know what God wants me to do. And we have to eliminate those things that do distract our minds from turning to God and really committing to him. I can see in my life, just as I'm getting older, that there's nothing more I want. When we work with our grandkids, we Zoomed today and we did a super book on Elijah, and it was amazing how there's so much out there to help teach our kids what God wants them to know, not what the world wants them to know. I think our minds would become dependent on the good news and distaste the negatives of the world and its influences if we really put God first, if we put our mind into the Word of God. The renewed mind transformation is a lifestyle. It's not something you put on and take off. We have the mind of Christ. He only did the will of him who sent him. Were you chosen before the foundation of the world to be loved by him and to love him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength? Yes, you were. When Jesus was confronted by the devil, how did he respond? With confidence, absolutely, no doubt. He responded with, "It is written," with the word of God. And that's how we respond in everything that we do. If someone gets angry with us, we don't respond with that same five senses, but we respond with love. He submitted to the Father. In James 4:7, it says, "To submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." On the authority of the Word of God and the name of Jesus Christ and the operation of the nine manifestations of the Spirit, we will be more than conquerors to resist the influences of the devil. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus." If it says to let it be in you, then it's available, right? Amen. So how do we do that? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. You can turn that or I'll just read it. This is where Jesus confronts Peter on his mindset. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." Can you imagine Peter going up to Jesus, and Jesus has already been telling them what the future's all about, the prophecy of it all, and he's saying, "Well, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to let it happen." And to me, that's, we all think that, you know, this is what could happen, and we think, no, there's no way. And yet, if it's God's word, we need to follow through with it. So Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Peter acted out of emotion and natural instincts instead of believing and trusting the Lord to do his Father's will. How many times do we try to make things work out without consulting the wisdom of God? It's interesting, some of these different versions give a really good viewpoint in the renewed mind. In the NLT, verse 23, it says, "You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." Are we? I find myself in that category sometimes. The ESV says, "You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. You're a stumbling block, a hindrance to me. You savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You are not setting your mind on God's promises." This is what you should not be doing. What he was doing, he should not have been doing, but doing the things that God wanted him to do. Jesus was teaching him, you need to think God first. Can you see? We don't want a head knowledge of God's word. We want a heart of God living in us. We need to ask God, "What am I trusting in more than you?" And he will show you. We need to help one another from getting deceived from the truth. Does the word say I was healed 2,000 years ago? Yes, it does. Then do I tell everyone of my diagnosis, or do I tell them how big my God is and don't waver on his faithfulness? Mm-hmm. Peter changed, didn't he? On the day of Pentecost, he received the gift of Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. He gave a sermon right after, and 3,000 souls got born again. Then he healed a man at the gate, beautiful, on and on. Speaking in tongues is the gateway to the supernatural. We should do it as often as Paul, who said he spoke in tongues more than the Corinthian church. We have the mind of Christ, the power latent in us to do the works that Jesus did and more. We have the ministry of reconciliation. The devil is trying to distract us from the will of God for our lives, but by making everything a political stand, dividing Christians, creating fear to disguise the spiritual battle we are in. And we are equipped for the spiritual battle, so we don't need to succumb to the five senses. So please, transform your minds away from the world to the priority of your relationship with your Abba, Father, and love one another as Christ has loved you. Walk as the spiritual beings we were made to be, because the world's looking for us. They need us, and we want to do the Father's will and renew our minds to that. I want to close with a song. It's by Mercy Me, and it's called "Say I Won't." Keep saying I won't, and I will prove you wrong.
Today, it all begins. For the very first time, through a different lens. Yesterday, I didn't understand. Driving 35 with a rocket inside, didn't know what I had. While I've been waiting to live, my life. I'm gonna run. No, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna know what it means to live. Am I just being alive? The world's gonna hear, 'cause I'm gonna shine.
not enough. Is what I've been told. But it must be a lie, 'cause the spirit inside says I'm so much more. So let them say what they want. Oh, I dare them to try.
Father, I thank you for your wonderful love for each one of us. I thank you for all of our lives, how we are precious in your sight, and that we all want to be the living sacrifice, just giving our lives to you and to one another. Thank you that you've given us this ministry of reconciliation, that we can believe your word. You connect us with those that want to hear, that we can minister healing and give hope and reconciliation to your people. I thank you for healing for each one of us from the top of our heads. I thank you for strength and courage to only trust you and just forget about what this world is fighting about. But we have the greatest cause ever to love and serve you. So thank you, Father, for choosing us, for bringing us to this wonderful family, and for your love and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.